Welcome to Season 6 of the Common Ground Unity Podcast. Jesus valued unity and prayed for it. We believe unity begins with Jesus-centered relationships, gathering around a table, sharing a cup of coffee or a meal. We like to say unity begins with a cup of coffee. So grab a cup and let's get started with another episode.
God originally created the world good, humanity very good, and that's important to know. Sin entered in later. It's not that God created a broken, messed up world. That came later, but God has a plan to bring us back into a relationship with Him, restore all of humanity, and that just has powerful explanatory effect. For so many people, that just rings true, explains how there can be a good God, which they want to believe in on some level, but a broken, messed up world. But that's not the end. And God's at work in the world and people's lives, and He's bringing them to a better point.
Well, today I am happy to welcome my friend James Norred to the podcast. James is a minister. He is the executive director of Next Generation for Christ, a ministry that's helping churches around the world think creatively about evangelism and discipleship and reaching the next generation. He holds a doctorate of ministry from Fuller Theological Seminary, so I guess we should call him Dr. James Norred. He's got an MDiv from Harding School of Theology and a BA from Oklahoma Christian University. James has led seminars all over the world. He's the writer and producer of the Story of Redemption film series, which is now available in more than 70 languages. He and his wife, Becky, partner together in ministry along with their three daughters, and they live in Chantilly, just outside Washington, D.C. James, it is great to have you. Brother, welcome to our conversation. How's everything up in your part of the country?
Going great, Kevin, and wonderful to be here with you and John, and excited to be sharing with you today.
Well, we're excited about being able to share what you're doing with Next Generation for Christ and the Story of Redemption. James, just for someone discovering your work for the first time, perhaps listening to our podcast, tell us what Next Generation for Christ is and what the Story of Redemption is and what it's about. How would you describe it, how it works, and who you created it for, who you had in mind?
Sure. Well, let me start with the Story of Redemption. And the Story of Redemption is, of course, God's story, which is why it's powerful. So it's the overall story of the Bible, which begins with the thought that God created humanity, the world and everything in it. He created things good, humanity very good. Sin entered into the world and messed things up, but God has a plan to bring us back into relationship with God and to restore, in fact, all of creation. And that's the overall biblical story. That is God's story of redemption. And so the Story of Redemption film series is, of course, based upon God's story. And it's a series of short videos, most of which are 6 or 7 minutes long, with study guides and discussion questions that go along with each lesson. It's filmed primarily the original core series in Israel and other kind of Bible land places such as Egypt and Ethiopia. And it's really designed to help lead seekers to faith as well as strengthen the faith of believers. And you can use it in so many different ways for evangelism, for discipleship, for English learning. It's great for Bible classes, for small groups, for adults, teens. We also have some additional great children's curriculum as well, camps, mission trips. And because it's available in more than 70 different languages, it's great for studying with people internationally here in the U.S., as well as with missionaries and churches all around the world. So that's a bit about the Story of Redemption.
Yeah, I think the application of it, I've learned, because we've got experience with it in our congregation, as you know. Our congregation out in San Diego County partners with James in this ministry as far as using it and just supporting the work. And the applications have been incredible, because we had a couple that used it to teach their own daughter leading up to her baptism. And then we've got people involved in international Bible studies around the world with people on over Zoom using Story of Redemption, and we're getting ready to use it as kind of an alpha course for restoration churches, I think, for our setting as well. So a lot of ways it's so applicable. You know, for somebody who's listening to this, I'd love for them to get to know you better. What were the experiences, questions, or maybe burdens in your own faith journey or ministry that eventually led to the creation of Next Generation for Christ and this whole Story of Redemption series?
Sure. Thanks, Kevin. Well, I grew up going on mission trips during the summer. My father taught at a Christian college, and so we'd go on these summer mission trips to Europe, and that was with a ministry called Let's Start Talking that helped people practice English using the Bible, and that was a great experience. It really was something that was part of my faith journey and helped shape my heart for mission. And then when I was in college, I had a young minister take me down to the jail with him, and he was sharing the gospel, and he said, come along, come follow me. So I did. And at first I learned from him how to do that, and then I did that on my own. And so then when I entered into ministry, I always had this heart for mission, evangelism, discipleship. I was actually in college, both a biology and a Bible major, and I was going to do medical missions, but really started getting involved in ministry. And though I was accepted to medical school, I decided that I wanted to do ministry full time. And so I jokingly tell my wife, you know, I still am a doctor, just a different kind, a doctor of ministry, but always had that heart for learning and for sharing the gospel. And so when I went into preaching, began to preach in the Kansas City area, down in Dallas, up in the DC area. And throughout all that time, I continue to do like seminars and things that were seeking to help people, help churches to reach out, share the gospel, reach the next generation for Christ. And so when we launched Next Gen, which was about 10 years ago now, hard to believe, but as we began that, we saw that there was a great need to help churches today better share the gospel. Churches, ministers, missionaries, families, ordinary members, to know how to better pass faith on. So we have an opportunity now with myself, our family, our team, to really preach and teach and share the gospel, equip and train across the U.S. and around the world, because there's such a great need to know how to better share faith today. Most churches today are struggling with reaching that next generation, including so many times, sadly, our own children and grandchildren. And so there's a need to solidify that faith with them, to build their faith up, to help them deal with the questions and challenges in regards to faith today. And then, of course, there's the global mandate to go and share the gospel with all nations, all people groups. And in the U.S., it's now, of course, it always has been, but it's now very much apparent that the U.S. is a tremendous mission field. It said today that about 30% of the U.S. population identify as the category of religious nuns. That is, people who say that they have no faith affiliation at all. Now, it used to be that there were a lot of people that said, I like Jesus, but not the church. And there are still a number that fit into that category. But now we have some 30% of the population that say that they don't identify with any kind of faith or religion. And that's something different for our country and for our culture. If you look at that, that's about nearly 100 million people. As you go into Starbucks or, you know, in your schools or just wherever you may go, you're going to encounter all kinds of people that say that they don't have any kind of identification with any kind of faith or religion. They may still be open, but that's not where their active self-identity and orientation is. And then, of course, you know, having been exposed to a lot of international ministry growing up, and of course, subsequently, I've always had a heart for just people of all different backgrounds, nations. Many of those are here in our country, as well as, of course, people all around the world. And so in Next Gen, we have this overall mission strategy of seeking, serving, and sharing, which is all based around what Jesus said he came to do: seek and save the lost, to serve others, to proclaim or share the good news. And that's a pretty holistic mission strategy, which I would say that the reason why it's helpful or effective is because it's what Jesus did. I'd say if we're doing what Jesus did, we're probably on the right track. And I jokingly say, was Jesus a pretty good evangelist? Yeah, obviously the best. So if we can imitate him, then we're on the right track. But those three broad principles are really important. Most churches maybe are hitting on one of those three cylinders. They might, a lot of them are doing some good servicing, for instance, but maybe that seeking of really praying for the loss, of being in proximity, understanding their culture, background, that type of thing may need some help in that area. And of course, sharing. How do we share the gospel with people that are on our hearts, our friends, family, neighbors, the people that we're serving? So that's kind of the overall broad scope of that. And so NextGen's the overall ministry, and Story of Redemption is kind of like a flagship, I suppose, of the ministry, just because it has so many different uses and it's so many different languages that there's a lot of identification with the Story of Redemption, of course, with reaching the next generation. And there's a lot of good reasons for that, because the biblical story is, of course, our incredible, powerful tool to share the gospel.
Well, you know, I'm old enough to remember going into ministry and also just in my teen years, I remember some innovators with some creative ways to teach the gospel and introduce it. Probably the name Jule Miller is familiar to you. I tell some people, James Norrett is the new Jule Miller, only in the sense of being innovative. But, you know, some of those older tools that, you know, I used to show up at people's homes sometimes with a kind of a video or film strip and, you know, a projector and ready to have a Bible study using some of those. What is kind of, you know, you think about the change in the religious landscape, you cite the number of nuns. A lot of those tools started out with a point of reference that people believed in God. They had some kind of working knowledge of the Bible. Now it was just teaching them truer doctrine, right? Or something more closely aligned. Things have changed dramatically. When you think about starting NextGen for Christ and Story of Redemption, what problems or opportunity did you see in the way people were engaging Scripture and sharing the gospel that made you think, hey, we need a resource like this? And how does Story of Redemption maybe approach it differently for a new generation?
Sure. Great questions, Kevin. So I first wrote the Story of Redemption actually when I was preaching in the Kansas City area, and we were encountering a lot of people, as the church was reaching out, a lot of people that didn't have much of a faith background, didn't really know the Bible much at all. And I was looking around for something to study with them, with to lead them to faith, share the gospel. And everything that I found was just terribly dated. That is, even the look and form, of course, you know, a lot of it was written in the 1960s or 70s, which was good material for that time and everything, but hadn't been updated. But besides like the outward form and style and all that type of thing, the biggest thing was that it assumed a churched audience. It assumed that people already knew the basic story of the Bible and perhaps told people what to do to be saved, which, of course, is vitally important. We do that in the Story of Redemption. But if you don't know the basic story, if you haven't had your heart move towards that, if you haven't processed and wrestled with all these faith questions that people today have, then it's hard to make that decision. And so I wrote the series first, actually, as a print series. There were 8 little booklets that came out, one per week as I wrote that. And I tried to write it in such a way that, well, maybe someone else could use this as a teaching tool. And so we published it, and it was used by a lot of different churches, started getting a couple initial translations. And then as we launched NextGen, the Story of Redemption was the first major project that we did, starting filming that. And now, of course, it's a film series. And so some of the things that the series sought to address, one, and changes in approach to Scripture. Scripture is always primary and always will be. But again, our starting point for where we start to share the gospel with people, where what we take them first through, is going to be dependent upon where they are. You know, I think about Acts 17. We always try to have biblical, you know, methods and ways of sharing the gospel. In Acts chapter 17, when Paul goes into Thessalonica, there he goes into the synagogues and he proves to them from the scriptures that Jesus Christ is Messiah. That was a Bible believing society. He could just pull out that Bible, right, and show them and prove to them, because they acknowledge that authority. When he's in Athens and he is there talking to the pagan audience there, he starts with an altar to the unknown God. It's something in their culture. He finds something positive to identify with. In him we live and move and have our being. He's actually quoting from the poets of the day. And so our starting point, biblically, we see it's appropriate to start where people are. And today, most people sadly just don't know the Bible, the basic stories, the overall story. If you don't identify with any kind of faith, then you certainly probably have a lot lacking in a basic biblical understanding as well. So we start the series in Genesis, and we start in Genesis chapter 1. That's very intentional. Some start in Genesis chapter 3, which is that, you know, you've sinned and need salvation. Of course, that's a biblical thought. But actually, Jesus said that he would send the Spirit to convict people of sin. And that's the primary role of the Spirit in that. And our primary role is to share the good news. And I like that order. But it's very important to start with Genesis chapter 1 rather than 3, because, first of all, it answers a lot of the big existential questions that people have. So as we introduce the series, we ask questions that people are in people's minds, typical ones that people have. We bring up, you know, if there is one, is there a God? If so, what kind of God? And if so, why is there so much pain and suffering? And why does God have a plan for my life? Well, if you look in the first few chapters of Genesis, you see in Genesis chapter 1, it explains who God is, what the creation is, and also that God originally created the world good, humanity very good, and that's important to know. Sin entered in later. It's not that God created a broken, messed up world. That came later, but God has a plan to bring us back into a relationship with him, restore all of humanity, and that just has powerful explanatory effect. For so many people, that just rings true, explains how there can be a good God, which they want to believe in on some level, but a broken, messed up world. But that's not the end. And God's at work in the world and people's lives, and he's bringing them to a better point. So there's all those things we cover, the early stories in Genesis, the stories of Abraham, of course, the life of Christ, his birth, ministry, death, burial, resurrection, and our response, faith, repentance, and baptism into Christ. And that tells the basic overall story. We have a number of additional series that we've made all under the story of redemption that had the same kind of a format. A little bit about the methodology. Again, we seek to be biblical and follow Jesus as our model. He's our pattern, primary pattern to follow. So Jesus, his primary teaching method was to tell stories and to ask questions. And just think about the story of the Good Samaritan. What does Jesus do in that? He tells the story, right? And at the end, what's he do? He says to those there, "Now, which of these do you think was a neighbor to the man who was beat up by the robbers?" Now, why is Jesus asked a question? Well, what do questions do? They cause us to think. They cause us to interact. They cause us to own the answer. And I truly believe that God works through these questions. And so the basic methodology, and it's easy because the teaching primary is on the films, and then there's questions that go along. We tell people, if you can ask questions, if you can press play and ask questions that you've already been given on your phone or on your laptop or wherever it may be, then you can do this study. And it really is designed to be fairly simple. You mentioned Jewel Miller. That was a media-based series that also sought to tell some of the overall story. I still run across people who are reached through that. Ours is similar in the fact that there's media and there's questions. We have a bit different theological focus, but I appreciate the work that was done on that. But really, the history of disciple-making movements, there's always been some simple methodologies that people have used to share the gospel. And whether it was the five-finger method, which actually used to be the six-finger method, you can go back and study on that in the Restoration movement. But
be faithful, sixth, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. and maybe it was appropriate for the time. But now people today, they tend to think less left brain. It's at least equally right brain today, more holistic, and tend to think not in terms of steps primarily. That can be helpful to remembering, but more holistically in terms of story. And story is universal. 75% of the Bible is narrative. Jesus told story after story after story. We're still telling those stories today. And story cuts across all cultures, all people groups, all ethnicities. Everyone loves a good story. And so we've got the greatest story ever told, and have found that rather than just summarizing it, but actually telling that story has a powerful effect.
Absolutely. I think in addition to that, when you think in terms of format, one of the things that struck me was the beautiful videography and can I use the term cinematography? Maybe that's a proper word. You are making movies and telling a story. There's really some stunning scenery and settings. Your Genesis 1 starting point, actually, I looked at that and I thought, I'm familiar with that place. That's actually Malibu, California on beautiful Zuma Beach. But you've traveled all over the world to different locations, Israel, the Mediterranean world, the Middle East. How does being in those places where these events unfolded shape the way people understand Scripture differently than, say, in a classroom or a studio setting?
Sure. Great question. Well, it was said that the medium is a message, and of course, the message never changes, but the way that we tell it is important. So today, people are so used to seeing beautiful imagery from all around the world. Places to go, people. This shows up in their feeds. It's a world that's very globally aware. From the internet, social media brings all that there together. And video is just a very powerful medium. And we've shifted our form. It was originally Story of Redemption was in booklets. As media and short form video in particular just began to explode, we said, hey, this is a great way to share the gospel. And so the places that it's filmed, I think, is one of the huge appeals. We have gone to places all around the world, and some of these, they're just amazing places. We've done filming in Iceland, in New Zealand, in Kenya, in Peru, just incredible places. And, it doesn't take a whole lot to get a young person or any person really to watch a short film on Iceland, from something that's filmed in Iceland. That sounds interesting. What's that about? Or New Zealand or whatever it may be. So just the places filmed, that's part of the great appeal. And it's professionally filmed with incredible team that has worked on this. But also the format allows such easy sharing, and it's consistent for today. So you can show this, in a coffee shop with your friends, standing in a line. There's so many different ways that can be shared. But something that we have seen around the world is that there are places where just getting into this medium, it kind of makes it even more real for them. But certainly for most anyone who watches the series, particularly the main series we just filmed primarily in Israel, we've had just young people, old people, all kinds of people tell us, this makes the story come alive. And they realize that this isn't just some made up story. This is a story that has history, that's grounded in a real place and places where we know Jesus walked and talked and lived. And so that makes it just incredibly powerful. So whether it's seekers going through this, hearing the gospel for the first time, or Christians who maybe haven't had the opportunity to go to Israel, some of these amazing places, then it gives an opportunity to really had the story just spring to life in a new kind of way. And again, that combined with questions is very important and is very powerful. I'll never forget one of the places that we serve is over in Croatia. And there was a gentleman there was studying with. His name's Mario. And Mario's a truck driver, a great, wonderful guy. Truck driver, so we called him Super Mario. But Mario and his wife, wonderful people. And they had been away from church for a long time. His wife had been baptized, but he had not. There were some things that happened, unfortunately, in that situation in the past. But he started coming to the studies and to the church. So I was out on his back porch one evening, and there I was studying with him. And we just showed the film on baptism, which we filmed at the Sea of Galilee, talking about Christ and how he was baptized and how he calls us to obey the call and we receive salvation and all the just beautiful, rich things that go along with that, the new life in Jesus Christ. And finally, I said to Mario after we watched that film, because Mario had such a good heart, I said, Mario, I can see that you've got a great heart for God. I can see that you want to follow Jesus. I said, what's holding you back from making this decision to follow him and be baptized? And he just paused and thought for a few minutes. And finally he said, nothing, nothing. And to me, that's the beauty of story and questions like Jesus did. Jesus is the best storyteller ever. We can't duplicate that, but we can go to the places where Jesus was. We can tell his stories. We can tell the biblical story. And we can invite people and ask welcoming questions and invite people to follow Jesus. And we just find that that is powerful and effective all around the world.
Well, I think it's very effective. And that piece of the format, I think, is important to people. You're maximizing the use of the visual in just a powerful way. And I just think it's important for people to know this isn't a guy sitting at a microphone preaching a sermon. But there's so many facets to this, telling the story, showing the story, and taking us to God's word in just such a creative way. Hello, I'm Kevin Witham, and I've been a volunteer with Common Ground Unity since its inception. And I want to take just a brief break here to discuss putting the mission of Common Ground Unity into practice and taking a new step. Unity flows out of our relationship with God. It's from the Spirit, and yet we're called to maintain the unity of the Spirit through humble, loving, gracious connection and relationships with one another. That's why Common Ground Unity was created, and that's why we want to take it to a new level that will bless you, those that participate in this ministry, and that's why we've created the Common Grounds app. It's your digital home to find local members, grab a coffee, or start a gathering right in your neighborhood. Inside, you can join or lead subgroups for local gatherings, Bible study, prayer, parenting, singles, and much more. Plus, you'll have instant access to our resource library full of videos, podcasts, and study materials. Just click the link in the show notes to join the free app. Finally, to do all of this, we urgently need your support. Of course, through your prayers, but also through your tax-deductible donation. That would really help this ministry. You can help us to share the positive message and foster unity literally around the globe. You can give today via our website or the link in our show notes. Thank you for walking this journey with us. Now back to the episode. Series is translated and subtitled into 70 languages and used all over the world. What has surprised you most about how people from very different cultures are using the series and how people are responding to the gospel through its presentation?
Yes, this has been one of the amazing things that has happened in the work of ministry, Kevin, that really could not have planned on. When we first wrote the series, the print series, it was translated, for instance, first into Russian. And so there was some of that additional interest. But we now have the series in more than 70 languages. We're continuing to add more and more as we get requests and as we have funding. And that covers those languages right there, covers about 82% of the languages of the world population. So that means that almost 4 out of 5 people that you might meet, you can watch the series and share the gospel with just your phone in your hand. You know, it's just amazing what can be done. But it began to get into all these different languages as we began to get into video. Video is just a great format for translation and for multiple languages. So when we went to Croatia as a family and there established the work and ministry there, there was a ministry that actually asked if they could take our series and put subtitles to it and use it and broadcast it there. And of course, we hadn't thought about that, but said, yeah, sure, if you think that'll work there. Because, you know, in the U.S., particular time, I mean, hardly anyone that's English speaking just as their primary and only language watches things with subtitles. Now that's increased, and we're getting, you know, a lot of other films that are subtitled. But around the world, they do. They watch all kinds of films with subtitles. And so I said, you know, of course, if you think that'll work, and it did, and it worked great. And lots of people called in from watching that, received Bibles through EEM. And so just, you know, great things that developed through that. As far as what happened after that, we discovered that really it wasn't just in Croatia, but really literally all around the world. As we went to places, they said, can you get this in our language? Can you put this into our language? When we went to Kenya, met with the people, did seminars, training, etc. And they said, you know, we don't have anything for the younger generations in our Bible classes. And they said it's like everything's geared for a different generation. And they said this is a digital generation. They're talking about Kenya, you know, and how it's a digital world, a digital generation. We got it into Russian. That was one of the early languages that we began to get a voiceover with, that as well as subtitles. And I remember going to Russia for the first time. Of course, I grew up, you know, a Gen Xer in the midst of the Cold War. That was, you know, pretty amazing. Started being used, you know, in camps and places all across Russia. During COVID, we had doors open up. Before COVID, as we started establishing these new sites and for mission points and getting the series in different languages, there are places that mainly our family together and then our team had gone and visited in person. But during COVID, some new doors opened up in Brazil, which and other places that we had never been to, but everything was going online. And so that just increased the reach and range. Now we had something that could be used, you know, during COVID time online, when a lot of other ministries weren't really as geared towards that. And we were doing some of that online before, but that just, you know, ramped up and that expanded the reach. And now it just continues to grow. We've gotten it into, you know, all the major languages, languages in the Middle East, like Arabic, Farsi, and Urdu, have been used in camps in Israel with refugees from Iran. And I'll never forget, just a few months ago, we had a church that up in New York that had a physical and spiritual brother back in Pakistan. One of the members had a brother back in Pakistan. And he wanted to start using the series, and that's in Urdu. We had it in the subtitles, but most of the population needs a voiceover. It's not a high literacy rate in these villages that he's working. And so we didn't have a Urdu professional voiceover for that one, but we had AI that was able to actually clone my voice. And so you can hear on that film that I'm speaking in Urdu, which I don't speak, but he's taking this around to all of these different villages with a TV, you know, on a cart, basically, and sharing this series there, and people are hearing the gospel. It's just amazing what can be done today, and God just opened up so many doors. And so the languages all around the world, there's a need for something at least like this. Now, ideally, every church, every, you know, every culture, people group, they would send their own crew, but It takes time, expense, money. And if we haven't really had something quite like this, at least in our fellowship, then and these other places, they just don't currently have usually the resources for that. Now, there are places where we seek to equip and train them how to do films and make their own and all that, which is fantastic. But we just found that, you know, we can film a series and put it in multiple languages, and it's almost instantly adopted in those places. And that's something that happens here in the U.S. as well.
Oh, those are great stories, James. I'm sure those stories are just going to multiply as this it is used in more places. And it would be interesting to hear you speak in Urdu or any other language just so fluently. AI, it's helping with the sharing of the gospel. That's powerful.
Yeah.
If a church leader or just everyday believer is listening and wondering, you know, how could this help us? What's one simple way you'd encourage them to begin engaging the story of redemption?
Sure. Well, first of all, I'd go to our website. So our overall ministry website is nextgenerationforchrist.com. And then the SOR, Story of Redemption website is storyofredemptionfilms.com. And there you can check out video trailer, some sample films that are out there just for free. You can check those out. We also have the series available in all these different languages. So if you're, you know, working with international ministry or groups overseas, then you can, you know, check that out. For churches in the U.S. that we're working with, you know, generally they're helping support the work and ministry, which allows us to continue to produce all these things, support all of our mission teams all around the world. And we provide it to all the members and all their ministries and mission sites. For people overseas, missionaries and those working, we can give the series directly to them. No cost, no charge. We just want the gospel to be spread. And anyone who wants to use a series, we won't let, you know, any kind of anything get in the way of that. If you want to share the gospel, we will find a way to provide this for you and do the equipping and training, because that's what we look for and pray for, people that have a heart for Christ and passing the faith on to the next generation. I'd also say contact me directly, jamesnored@gmail.com, jamesnored@gmail.com. You can contact, you know, Kevin, John, and this program, and get you more information. But we would love to hear from you, and love for you to check things out, work with you, your church, and see if we can work together to share the gospel. We have a larger holistic seminar and trainings around those next gen principles of seek, serve, share, and other aspects of ministry. And then, of course, the story of redemption itself. Another neat thing that we have that people that are interested in, you know, starting to use a series. I mean, we do trainings, you know, for the whole church, online, in person. We encourage churches to start going through this if they're going to use it, like in all of their, like one of their systems, all their Bible classes or all their small groups. That gets a lot of familiarity. It's in teams on short-term mission trips using the series. We can help equip and train for that. We also have about 50 different online groups that people can join that are ongoing studies and just see how this is done. And these are, by and large, studies with Christians and seekers. So live studies that they're okay with you joining. And that's just a great way to just participate. That's further training. It's also just a great way to share the gospel. And we tell people, if you just have an hour a week to give, and you can click on a Zoom link, then you can join one of these studies that's already going on. So it's not a question of whether people can share the gospel today. They can be a part of it. All it takes is a willing heart and 1 hour, just a little bit of time, a little bit of effort, and the opportunities there today are endless.
Yeah. I know our producer, John Teal, will put the website and your contact information in the show notes so people easily have that accessible. I have found that our church, James, you know, we've got people involved in studying with people in Vietnam through a Story of Redemption in Africa. So literally, you know, they're jumping in and being a part of Bible studies in different parts of the world, just from their home. And in addition to that, you know, it's led to an increased interest to where we had a training session, as you know, that you conducted with about 28 people in our church this past weekend. So, you know, I think as church leaders see the possibility of it and their own interest becomes piqued by that. Others just kind of catch a heart for it and see it as a really helpful tool. It was amazing to us how many Christians in our own church we had saying, boy, I just want more training in sharing the gospel. I want to have, you know, tools that'll help. And this has been just a real excellent one for that. I just see its use increasing. Our podcast, as you know, is about unity across the restoration movement and beyond, we say. And we believe that in earnest. And we believe that when Jesus prayed for unity, a big part of his desire to see the church as one voice is so that it with one voice shares the gospel and that the world may come to believe. So unity, you know, honors God, the unity of the Godhead, and also it helps accomplish the work of God in the world. So when you think about our movement and beyond, how have you seen the story of redemption serve as common ground for Christians who may not agree on everything, on every little practice or form, but who share the same core story of Jesus?
Yes, absolutely. Of course, Jesus, such an important topic, right? Jesus prayed for unity in his believers, and that was a core part of the restoration plea, is to be united in Christ. So how does this contribute to that heritage? Well, the biblical story and the story of redemption, God's story of redemption, and sharing the gospel and leading people to faith in Christ, that is incredibly unifying. We work with a wide range of churches, and I sometimes jokingly say, you know, if some of them met each other, maybe they wouldn't even like each other, or they might just kind of pick at each other a little bit, but they can agree on this, you know? It's hard not to be for sharing the gospel and leading people to faith in Christ and telling the biblical story, inviting people to follow Jesus. And so it's incredibly unifying and can bring together all kinds of different groups and people, and you know, include not only our fellows from the Restoration Movement stream, but also, I mean, everyone's interested in the biblical story, and so you know, who would you not want to have this in their hands? So it's to us, it's like a Bible. You want everyone to have it, and so it's something that everyone can get behind and be a part of. And there's so many opportunities to share the gospel today.
Yeah, it's Christ-centered and Christ-focused and about what he wants for our lives. So,
amen.
That, I think that'll always contribute. When we get back to that core message, boy, we can unite around Jesus. We don't necessarily have to have every piece of our tradition embedded in one another. So thank you for that. As you look to the future, both for Next Generation for Christ and for churches wrestling with division, fatigue, or maybe a loss of mission, what gives you the most hope right now? You get out among a lot of churches and go to a lot of places. What's making you hopeful presently?
Sure. Well, the thing that always encourages me the most is seeing God at work, and seeing God at work all around the world, here in the U.S. and in so many places. And one of the things I have the opportunity to do as I go and preach and teach at different churches is to share these stories about God at work around the world. And it's always so encouraging. And I would say what's also encouraging and gives me hope is seeing people being reached for Christ and knowing that people can be reached for Christ. And I'll share with you two examples. So how is it that we reach people in our own backyard, our neighbors, our friends, family, some of whom may be very different from us, who may come from different culture, different background, even different faith or religion? Well, there was a woman who came into one of the churches here in the DC area, and she was from the Middle East and was from a Muslim background, but kind of nominally Muslim. And she came to the U.S. On asylum. And as she came to that church building, she came there because someone down the street from the church had said to her, go see those people over there. They can help you practice your English. So she came there because she had a need, something that it was a felt need. So she came. And when she came in, she found out it was a church, but she met one of the women who worked in one of the ministries there, actually with the Store of Redemption. And she talked with her about how Jesus loved and appreciated people of all backgrounds, all ethnicities, loved and appreciated women, obviously. And so she stayed, which was pretty amazing because she came from a different faith background. But even though it was a kind of nominally Muslim, her experience with faith and religion had just been terrible. Her family had been actually brutally murdered by ISIS. And so she really didn't have any kind of faith at that point and didn't want to have much anything to do with faith or religion. But she met someone who's kind, helpful, and welcoming. And so she stayed, started studying with her, and started going through the Store of Redemption. And we had just actually finished editing an updated version of one of the films on Jesus calling his disciples. That's filmed right there at the Sea of Galilee. We rented a boat, older style wooden boat, and went out there on the boat, walked along the shore as Jesus did, calling the disciples. It's a beautiful film, beautiful story. And I said to the woman who, the Christian worker who was working with her, I said, I think this would be a good film for, I'll call her Ada, for Ada to watch, because the fact that in that film, we talk about how Jesus drew together people from all backgrounds and ethnicities. And she said, yeah, I think so. So we got together at 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning and we watched that film. And I could tell as she was watching it that she was really engaged. But when the film ended, there was just silence. And then she said, from watching that film, I felt a peace come over me like I've never felt before. Then she said, I can see now that I can have a family and a future. And then she said, I don't want to be Muslim anymore. I want to follow Jesus. Powerful. One of the most incredible moments ever.
Yeah.
And so we, of course, were filled with joy. She wanted to keep studying, and she did. And a few months later, I was actually down in Texas, and I got a text from her saying that she wanted to be baptized. And knowing her situation, knowing that she didn't know many people and had to be very careful about her faith, I rearranged some things, flew back so it could be there to baptize her. And so we went and took her confession and baptized her there in the water. And when she came up, she probably had never seen a baptism before, know exactly what typically happens. But when she came up out of that water, she went to the front ledge of the baptistry and she started giving a speech about why she wasn't Muslim anymore and why she believed in Jesus. And, you know, this is a late Saturday night. There's a few people gathered around, but she was just sharing her faith and about her incredible love for Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and just an incredible moment. And I think back to that time, and just it's so amazing that how God is at work all around the world, and people are open to the gospel. He's already at work in people's hearts and lives if we'll just share this story, great story, with them. And then finally, that's a story of someone international in the U.S. I will tell you that families in the U.S. and all around the world also are going through the Store of Redemption, including my own daughters. So we have three daughters. Our oldest two, both were baptized a number of years ago, but we have a 13-year-old. And it was this past spring that she was baptized into Christ there at a camp in Croatia. And prior to that baptism, of course, she had grown up hearing this, seeing this, been a part of a number of group studies and all that kind of thing. But we went through it together, and because I wanted to make sure that she really knew and understood the biblical story well, what it meant to follow Jesus, what it meant to answer that call, what baptism was, the hope and freedom and redemption that's found in Jesus Christ. And after we went through that, she was baptized into Christ there in Croatia. So really, no matter where you are, you can be sharing the gospel. And there's incredible tools out there. Ours is one of them. But whatever it is that you use something. Use the tools and resources that God has given to all of us to share Christ with others and bring people to faith in Him. That's what the ministry is all about. And wouldn't it be fantastic if every person were equipped and trained and was actively sharing the gospel in some kind of way? And we can do that That's what God calls us to. That's the fundamental mission of the church, to be about the mission of Jesus Christ. And that, my friends, is what gives me hope.
Yeah, boy, a big amen to that. I'll tell you, those two stories, I think, give us all hope. It tells us why you do this. Lives get changed when people come to know Jesus, and salvation comes to families and to individuals. Powerful work you're doing, James. So glad to have our listeners, maybe some, hear about it for the first time and be able to access this just wonderful tool for making Jesus known. Thank you for taking the time to be with us. Give us verbally again the website address and where people can look over Next Gen for Christ and Story of Redemption.
Sure. Well, thank you so much, Kevin and John, for your wonderful hospitality and inviting me on. And we're just thrilled to be able to share with you today. And as for our website, so our overall ministry website is nextgenerationforchrist.com. And then the Story of Redemption, or SOR, we sometimes call it, website is storyofredemptionfilms.com. And then my email is jamesnored@gmail.com. Love to hear from you, and love to work with you, your church, your family, your ministry, in order to better share Christ today in the U.S. and around the world. Thank you again, and pray that God blesses you guys and all that you're doing. Blessed and honored to be here with you today.
Well, thank you so much, and God's blessings on all that you're doing in the kingdom. We have a vision to create and support gatherings of unity-minded Christians around the globe. Imagine the good news of these gatherings modeling the prayer of Jesus in our divided world. Please find the Common Ground Unity app link in the show notes. You can use the app to connect with other unity-minded Christians in your area. And as we often say, unity starts with a cup of coffee. I've been enjoying one during this conversation. Maybe you can enjoy a cup with some other believers that you can get to know in your part of the world. If you're benefiting from this ministry, then we ask you to consider making a monthly donation to support the work. You can do that at www.commongroundsunity.org/donate. I look forward to being back with you next week or one of our co-hosts for another conversation with Common Ground Unity. Thank you for listening to the Common Ground Unity podcast. Please check out commongroundsunity.org to learn about who we are and find gatherings in your area. Please don't forget to download the CGU app. You can also subscribe to our monthly digital newsletter, join the Facebook group, or find our YouTube channel. Until next time, God bless, and remember, unity starts with a cup of coffee.